Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, and you. I've been looking at your blog. Yeah, you've done a few things, haven't you?
Well, for someone who's still only 22, I like to think I've done. No, I had the birthday actually yesterday, and I said it's the big one, and they said, "Whoa, how old are you?" I said 58, because anything feels big once you start getting into that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I've had the company for 32 years, and we started at the Old Rep Theatre in Birmingham, which is a lovely, gorgeous, the first purpose-built repertory theatre in the country, 378 seats. And in the 30 years we've been going, we've gone from the Old Rep to all around the country to some of the most fantastic theatres in the world, like Sydney Opera House and 42nd Street on Broadway. For the last 10 years, we've concentrated on children and family theatre and have been really lucky to do all the Horrible History shows and work with David Williams, which is the show we're doing now. So it's been a real roller coaster. I mean, one of the first people we did a lot of was Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
So we've worked with some of the best writers there is for children, and it's always proved to be, you know, an extremely rewarding experience.
Yeah. Now, I mean, most actors sort of want to get on stage and perform and stuff, but you've gone way beyond that, I think. What made you 32 years ago start this Birmingham Stage Company? What put the idea in your head?
Well, I think the real thing is, as you say, most actors only want to be on the stage. Well, that's all I ever wanted to be, was on the stage. The thing is, as some of your listeners might realise, is that being an actor is much easier to say than to do, because you need someone to hire you. And you need someone to hire you consistently over the course of, let's say, the last 32 years in order to have the life that you envisage for yourself. And when I was 24 and I thought about setting up this company, it was because I wanted to ensure I was going to be in really great theatre for the rest of my life. And the only way I could be absolutely sure about it, from my point of view, was to set up my own company and produce shows. I'm not in all of them by any means, but create theatre and be part of theatre in a way that I had some control over it. And I'm not sure I realised how successful it was going to be, but certainly that's what I've managed to do, is be involved. I mean, I'm sitting next to, as I talk to you, two technical people we've worked with for the last number of years, you know, and it's all the people you work with, it's where you go, it's the audiences you meet, that's the life I wanted. And the only way I could be sure of it was to have my own company.
It's almost as precarious, though, as just doing the straight acting thing, because you had no idea at the time just how successful you would be. I mean, that's a monumental thing you took on. And, well, hats off, because you've been running this for 32 years and you've worked with some pretty big names, haven't you?
Yes. Well, I was very lucky right from the beginning, because to raise money for my company, I had the idea of interviewing well-known people live on stage. So I ran around London's West End and grabbing actors as they walked to their theatre to do their afternoon matinees. And I ended up getting the help of Dustin Hoffman, Jack Lemmon, Peter O'Toole, Judi Dench, Paul Ennington, Alan Bennett, Michael Frayn, Glenn Close, Richard Dreyfuss. All these amazing actors who all said, yeah, we're happy to help you raise money for your company. So it had a really great start from the beginning. And we've only gone from strength to strength.
I mean, that's just, well, it's kind of, well, it's a who's who of the stage almost, that, isn't it? 10 years ago, you said you decided to go down the direction of children's productions. What was the driving force for that?
Well, we'd always done children's theatre. We started off with Roald Dahl. Our very first Christmas show was Roald Dahl. But what I realised was that we were getting close to being at the top of being of that sector, which performs for children, performs for families, and creates great family shows. And I thought, if we concentrate on it, we can get the very best. And is how it turned out. We became the producer of Horrible Histories, which is obviously a massive phenomenon, both on TV and film and in the books. And we also started working with David Williams, who is one of the top-selling writers in the UK. And I think it was concentrating on doing the children's theatre meant that we got to work with the very best people. And I think they say with any business, don't they, that if you specialise and you find out what is your unique thing that makes you different to everyone else, that's going to be the key to future success. And so it turned out, because Gangster Granny, for example, which is one of David's best-selling books, was one of the most popular shows we've ever done. And we've just had a joyous time with David's work, because his books are so fantastic, the stories he creates are so brilliant, and the characters that are in them. And here am I sitting for the first time, even though I've been working with him for 10 years, actually ready to play one of his great characters. And so that has been the benefit of concentrating on children's theatre and then working with some of the best writers in the business.
Yeah, it's a very different form to doing adult theatre, I would guess, because before we actually got to speak, I was actually looking at some of this stuff and thinking, how on earth do you do all this stuff for children? What is the magic ingredient that you need to gain the attention for a reasonable amount of time of a child watching theatre? How do you do it?
Well, the interesting thing is, I think the reason we've been successful is that I adore children and I respect children. And I don't regard being an adult as any... I'm not any different to a child, except I've just had more experience of life. And I think that's been the secret of our success, because all our productions, we never talk down to children, we never try and patronise them or make things simple for them. Because in my experience, children are much, much more sophisticated than we take account of. And they can deal with really interesting subjects, really complicated issues. All you have to do when you're doing theatre for children is make things clear. Because the one thing that they tune off instantly is if they don't understand something. If they don't understand, they don't try and understand, they just switch off. So you've got to make sure that throughout any show you do, whether that be Horrible Histories or Roald Dahl or David Williams, that at every point they know what's going on. And then the great wonderful thing about playing for children is they engage so totally with what you're doing in a way that sometimes adults don't. Because to a lot of children, particularly the younger ones, they're not quite sure, is this real or not? You know, I remember we did a production of Jungle Book where Mowgli walked on with fire and we had a real fire. And you could always tell in the audience the children were just asking each other, is that fire real? Is that fire real? Because they don't really understand the difference between the fiction on stage and the reality of life, because obviously the great joy of theatre is making it look as though it is real, even though, of course, you're going to do it again the next night, and probably the next year exactly the same. And children really buy into that in a wonderful way. So they're an incredible audience to engage with. And it's even better when they bring their parents, because then you've got this extraordinary mixture of people. You've got five-year-olds sitting next to 55-year-olds, 85-year-olds, who are all enjoying it for different reasons, but coming together as an audience. And that makes it a really compelling experience. I mean, you know, playing to children and their families has been amongst the most fantastic experiences I've ever had in a theatre, and compares very well with adult theatre, because if children get bored, they start talking. If adults get bored, they just go to sleep. And I'd much rather know that I've lost the interest of my children and get them back than find out, you know, half my audience have fallen to sleep because this Greek tragedy has not standed the test of time. So, yeah, children are great.
Yeah, I was just thinking really about this, because the only time I really... in recent times have been to the theatre, I stick my hand up and say I should go more often, is to see the pantomime. And that is one area where that's kind of for children of all ages. This is not pantomime, is it, in any way, shape or form?
No, it's a real play. I mean, it's funny because I'm working with some young actors on this show that I've never done children's theatre before. And one of the first things they said a couple of weeks into rehearsals was, you know, they thought because it was for children, it was going to be simplistic. And they were amazed by the detail we're working, the finding out the motivation of the characters, the reality of the relationships. There's nothing we do that is in any way a shortcut to the process you would go through if you were doing an Ibsen play or a Shakespeare play. It's really done absolutely seriously. All the technical people I work with are people who work on adult shows all over the country, in the West End and internationally. So there's nothing that makes it, because it's children, you dumb down or you cut corners. You know, we spend as much as these shows on, that we probably more, to be honest, than we would with an adult show, because the one thing children like is spectacle. And certainly when we've done all of our David Williams shows, we really go for it. So you've got a Rolls Royce on stage, you've got the most extraordinary set. You've got these fantastic puppets that we use at certain points in the play, and it all costs an immense amount of money, but it all adds up to this extravaganza, theatrical magic.
Now, you've chosen the work of David Williams. Now, to me, and also to probably a lot of other people, David Williams, of course, was part of Little Britain. This was probably before he started writing for children. And You're the performer in all of this, and the person that's adapting all of this. How good a writer is David Williams?
Well, he's very good. The interesting thing is that he was writing before he did any performing. When I wrote autobiography, I was amazed by just how much writing he did for television before he was actually broke into it as a performer himself. And he's fantastic at creating stories and characters and dialogue. And what's joyous about working with David Walliams as opposed to working with Roald Dahl is that David is still alive. So that when we do a show, David will turn up and watch what we're doing. And then we'll give me notes and we'll change lines and we'll change dialogue and we can work on it together. That's something obviously I can't do with Roald Dahl because he's not here anymore. But he really is brilliant. He's one of the most professional people I've ever worked with. When he works with you, he really works with you. He gives all the time and attention to what you're doing. And he really is fantastic. So we've been very blessed to have had a decade of working with him.
Oh, that's good. I mean, would it be true to say then that most of the young people who come along and see this will have already read the book? Or would it be something that they probably haven't done?
They may well have read one of his books. They may not have read this particular one. And our task, obviously, is to make sure it works, whether you know the story or not. And he's got an awful lot of fans out there, as I say, because he's one of the top-selling authors in the country and has been now for about 5 or 6 years. So it's a mixed audience, and obviously sometimes you get people coming who don't know anything about David at all, and that's a really great fun as well, because then we're introducing him, everybody, to we're introducing him to that audience.
Now you say you're actually taking part and performing in this yourself as well, aren't you?
I'm playing the auntie in Awful Auntie, yeah. So I'm playing this.
I've seen the picture.
Oh, good.
I have seen the picture of that, I must say. And I don't think I'll pass comment on how you look as auntie. Terrify me, sure. I would think.
That's the joy of it, because she's wicked and hilarious at the same time. So if I can make people laugh while they are, you know, gripping onto their seats, that's the challenge of it, because it is a very, very funny story, but at the same time, it's a thriller. So you want to keep people on the edge of the seats while they're laughing.
Yeah. Now, you've got quite a run of this. It starts, is it this Thursday in Horsham?
That's right. And then we tour all over the country for the rest of the year. So we're probably visiting every major city in the country.
Yeah, there's quite a list there. Yeah, I'm actually looking at that picture of you now. You've got some... Whoa, that's a nice cap.
Thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Just see that. So the rehearsals continue, I presume, right up until until sort of Wednesday night, I presume.
Yes, what we're doing now is finishing our technical rehearsals. Then we go into the dress rehearsals, where we run the show as if exactly as it should be performed, but we haven't got an audience there. We'll have about three of those dress rehearsals, and then we open Thursday night. And really looking forward to being in Horsham again, because this is where we launched Gangster Granny and Billionaire Boy, and so it's just joyous to be back in this great venue.
Yeah. How long did it take you to put this whole thing together, as I said, because you're not only sort of performing in it, you've also adapted this for the stage, haven't you?
Yes, it takes about, from beginning to end, a show like this takes about 2 years.
Wow.
It'll take about 6 months to adapt it. Then the designer gets involved and you start designing the set. Then you start creating all the marketing. Then you cast the actors. Then you go into rehearsals and then you're on. But from beginning to end, that's 2 years.
Wow. That's a bit of a thing. And you actually said just now that you're actually touring all year with this one until, well, I can see that it's the 27th. It's the 27th and 30th to the 30th of November. dare I actually ask... What's 2025 hold for you?
I don't. Yes, I probably know, and I probably can't tell you.
Ah, right. There's stuff in the pipeline. Then, so in between the performances and stuff, you're working on other bits and pieces. I'm not going to pry.
Everything, because I'm the actor manager of the company. Mm. I run the company. So you know, every time I'm not on stage, I'm sitting with my laptop dealing with the hundreds of emails that are coming in, because we've got Terrible Thames, which is our show on the river in London. We've got Tours of Horrible Histories. We're planning I'll be in the West End this summer in our production of Terrible Tudors, which is another horrible history show. So yeah, we're doing a lot of different plays all the time, and I'm working on it.
Wow, you've just blown me away with all of that stuff. Probably one of the busiest guys in acting, I would think, these days, from the sounds of all of that.
Yes, I can feel it, but I still look incredibly young, as anyone who sees that picture will see.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, you look better without the cap than with the cap, I have to say. Neil, it's been good to catch up today. It's a performance of Awful Auntie. You're there for four days, I do believe, at the Capitol in Horsham, and then off around the rest of the UK. We wish you well with that.
Thank you so much, Tony. Great to talk.
And to you, Neil Foster. Thank you.